You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
We're talking about our vision and values, and what I didn't want to do is, get something here. I will drink. What I didn't want to do is just give you a bunch of one-liners about what we do and why we believe what we believe. I actually want to tell you why the certain things that we do that are specific necessarily to us, why we do it that way. There's a method to our madness. So the first week we talked about, we don't take an offering. We don't put a lot of pressure on people because the scripture tells me not to put pressure on people, A. And number two is we really want you to give because God's faithful. And if you get that in your heart, conversation over, right? I mean, we have to have a conversation about that. I believe God is faithful all the time, therefore I give. And that's what we talked about. We live different lives because we believe heaven is real. Heaven and rewards are real. And that changes the way we live on this earth. And it should be. Today we're going to talk about something that seems a little strange, but we're going to pray as if God is actually listening. And it seems weird. Pray like God is listening or pray because God is listening. That may seem like a silly statement. But in my 35 years plus of preaching the gospel, I've heard all kinds of prayers. I've heard liturgical prayers, and they're scripted prayers, and they're beautiful, actually, and spoken from the heart. They're very wonderful. But when it becomes just a repetitious thing that doesn't mean anything, it loses life. I've seen drive-by praying. You know, I'll pray for you, and then they drive by. You know, Facebook is like, I'll pray for praying. You know what I mean? And go like that. And I've had drive-by prayers, people, I'm praying. And when we started the church, right before we started the church, I was out golfing, and it just so happened I got two pastors in my foursome. And we're golfing, and I'm so excited about starting the church that I'm telling them everything. We get done golfing, and I felt like it was so God-ordained. And I said to these guys, I said, would you pray for me? And I closed my eyes, and I waited, and I waited. I looked at them, and they go, yeah, we'll pray for you. We got a men's Bible study. See, drive-by. It was a drive-by prayer, right? And they prayed later. At Streams Church, this is what we want. When somebody says, will you pray for me? We pray for them. Right there, right then, because we know God is listening. 10 minutes before the service, if you have something you need to pray for, there will be people up here, because we wanted to start every service with prayer. And if you need anything, they will be here to pray for you. After our service on both corners, we have people there to pray for you. And the reason is I believe that we need to be a place that prays. On Facebook, if somebody says, pray for me, I'm going to encourage you, write out a prayer like you would be praying for them. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, and write it out. And say amen, and let that be on their wall that you prayed for them in this situation. I think that's powerful. I've heard passive-aggressive prayers. I had left a church and gone to be a part in the Midwest of a church, and I was a youth pastor there. And the pastor and I were getting to know each other, and he just had come off the mission field in Chile. And he would leave on my desk these magazines, church magazines, and he would highlight things in there. And I would go and go, are you wanting to say something? Oh, no, I just thought it's an interesting read. I thought I'd highlight some things for you that might be interesting to you. Okay. And then we'd have prayer time. And he'd go, God, please help Lloyd to understand about, and he'd say the same things he just highlighted, right? I'm like, are you wanting to tell me something? Because I said, oh no, I'm just praying for you that you'd have revelation, and then the next week another article and it's highlighted. And so instead of confronting me, it was just a way of praying for me and really trying to go the way. There was I don't know why they did this, but I was put at a time as a pastor of a church over 10 other churches, so I oversaw those 10 churches, but I was the youngest pastor there. And I was the newest pastor there. So our first gathering, all the pastors come together, and one of the guys goes, let's lay hands and pray for our new divisional leader. And so they laid hands on me, and the guy's prayer went like this. Dear Lord, help us to forget the fact that Lloyd is younger than us, and help us to forget the fact that he got the church that we all wanted. I'm like, this is going to be a tough job. And passive-aggressive praying, that's not the answer. When I was sick 3 years ago, I took about 3 months physically to recover. I actually visited a lot of churches on Sunday. And one of the things that sort of bothered me was I found very few churches that had prayer part of their service. And they would pray for the offering, and they would pray before the message, but not praying for people or praying over people. And Jesus in Mark 11:17 says this, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations? And he had gone into a place that they were using God's temple. They had corrupted the things. They were selling items to be sacrificed. There was a whole corruption system. And he blew up the place, turned over the tables. And then his final statement is, the reason I'm upset, mad, is because you've taken a house of prayer and made it into a den of robbers. And that upset me. So when I started the church, it just spoke to my heart when I saw that, that we needed to be a place of prayer. And so that's why we do the 10 minutes before and all the things we do. And not just prayer, a personal prayer to a loving Father who listens, cares, and answers our prayers. And did you know that? That God loves having relationship with you. He wants to hear from you. He listens and He responds. One of the things that changed my life is when I met Floyd McClung. And we went on a mission trip together. And he said, listen, we're going to get up and do devotions, but the only thing we're going to do is we're going to thank Papa for how much he loves us and tell him why he's such a good father. Don't ask him for anything. I don't want you praying for anybody else. We're just going to come together for a whole week, every morning. By the end of that week, every time I started praying, I started crying because I was overwhelmed with my Heavenly Father. And the reason that Floyd taught me to go that way and to pray like that is because Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way. So I want to read to you Matthew 6, 9. This then is how you should pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the first thing when we pray, he said there needs to be an acknowledgement that I have a relationship with a Father and that he loves me. That you can talk to me in intimate terms. And that was a radical departure from anything they knew. He exploded the stereotypes that people had about God. God is not an angry tyrant. He's not an apathetic creator. He's not an impersonal power. God is a father. He's not a force. And in the Old Testament, God was always mentioned as a father 7 times. But Jesus alone in the New Testament, over 150 times, mentions God as the Father. And that's good news. Because God wants to relate to me as a person. And get to know me as a person. The problem is this. I've seen throughout my life in ministry. Father wounds run very, very deep. And when I say father, sometimes there's a resentment in you, an anger in you, a fear. Wait till your father gets home. That was over you all your life. And the reason people don't connect with God very well sometimes is because they unconsciously think of God like their earthly father. And we impose the weaknesses of our earthly father upon God. That maybe he was an unreasonable father. That he expected unreasonable demands from you. And your life was miserable because of that. He was an unreliable father. You can't depend upon God or anyone else because you're always worrying and stressed because your father was unreliable or an unconcerned father. He existed, but he wasn't even there. He didn't bother, too busy. Or an unpleasable father. No matter how hard you tried, he was never pleased. And the one thing that somebody taught me that I did with my daughters is my daughters always knew that who they were was way more important than what they did. I care more about you than I do about how you performed at this level. And it's a powerful thing when you can get that from the Father who says, I care more about you than what you do. And today in America, 24 million children live without a father in their home. Can you imagine them hearing about Father God? They have no concept of that. There was an interesting study I read years ago. About the 50 most famous atheists, like Karl Marx and Freud and other people like that. You know, they all had one common denominator. All of them, they hated their father. That was the common denominator. So what kind of father is God? And I hope today you're going to trade in your misconceptions, all your sorrow, all your shame that are caused by humans and personally connect with the Father who deeply loves you and wants to connect with you. So here's some scriptures about what kind of father God is. First of it is, he's a father who cares. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on us. And cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Why should you do that? Because he cares for you. He loves you more than you ever know. He loves you more than you ever realize. God's compassion is one of his most outstanding qualities. There's a story in the Bible in Mark chapter 4 where they're going from one side of the sea to the other side of the sea and all the disciples are in the boat and this big storm comes up. and it's rocking and rolling, and Jesus is asleep. So they go to Jesus, and it says Jesus was, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus was in a stern, in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Because they were in the middle of the storm like, "You don't care." And you probably felt that way sometimes too, like, "Wow, God, do you really care where I'm at? Do you care about my house payment? Do you care about my grades, who I date, my health, my moods?" And the answer is yes, he does care. And Jesus said, "Ye of little faith," I mean, that's the old saying, "you have some faith, I care." When I was young and stupid, sometimes those words are synonymous, aren't they? When I was young and stupid, I was on the church staff and we were all together and we were giving prayer requests and praise reports, and this older woman in the faith, very seasoned in life, she was talking about she was doing some needlework and stitching this pattern, but she had lost the pattern, is what she does. You know how you put the little pattern on, you go through it. She had lost the pattern, and so she wanted to finish this thing, and she was there, and she said, "I prayed to God that he would help me make the pattern right, because I didn't have the make the stitching right, so it looked right." And I thought to myself, people are dying all over the world, and you're asking God to make sure your little stitch work looks good. I was young and stupid. And she was like, she started to cry. And praise God, he did it. And she shows this thing, and she's so excited that God had done that for her. And then I learned later on, God has the ability to help her and save the world too at the same time. I don't know if you knew that, right? Yeah. So I'm like, he cares. And he loves her, and he can do both. The Bible says he knows the hairs, every hair on your head, and he even knows the original color. So that's how much God cares for you, right? Here's another one. A father who is consistent. I just want to say I don't dye my hair, okay? Every good and perfect gift is from above. One of my favorite scriptures. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So he gives good gifts, he gives perfect gifts, and he gives them all the time. And he doesn't change. He is always consistent. He always is dependable. He's always reliable. He's always worthy of our trust. Son, fathers are unpredictable. You don't know when they're going to go off. I was, some of you know my story, and I had a stepdad who, he taught me a lot of wonderful things, but he also could blow up and be very physically abusive. And so I was told by some pastor friends I should go see the psychiatrist. And it's funny because the psychiatrist, he really focuses on Vietnam vets and pastors. So I don't know why those two go together, but I'll tell stories later on. No. And so he was talking about the fact that the problem is when you're a child and you're in an abusive situation is that you eat on hyper alert. You sleep on hyper alert. Everything you do, you're in hyper alert all the time. He goes, you can't live like that. Your brain can't function like that because you never have a letdown. And he says the same thing as people that are in combat. They eat like that. They sleep like that. Everything. And I thought to myself in my situation, I can't even imagine a young girl who has to worry every night before she goes to bed what's going to happen that night. I mean, it's devastating stuff to have an unreliable father. But we know, according to Scripture, that he is not like man. Our Father cares for us all the time. Every good and every perfect gift comes from him. And here's the thing that differentiates him from everybody else. Every other man-made religion is the God who's temperamental. Please him by doing this or he gets angry. Our God doesn't change. He always acts the same way towards me, caring and consistent. And he never breaks his promises. He also is a father who is very close. God did this so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. He's not distant. He's available. Sometimes we think Father in heaven, but that's not the truth. The scripture says Holy Spirit, God, lives within us. And he's with us all the time. He's not a million miles away. And maybe you had a father that would go on long road trips. Maybe he was a salesman who was gone all the time. And when he did come, he was disconnected. U.S. study says that there, because of the two-income families, that there are 22, parents have 22 fewer hours with their children now than they did in 1970. That's how much less time they spend. But I have some encouraging truths about our God. God is never too busy for you. Psalm 145, 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on His truth. God loves to meet my needs. Matthew 7:11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to ask Him? And God is sympathetic to my hurts. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Aramaic word used for father is Abba, and it's the first word that Middle Eastern babies learn. My papa, my daddy, is a very intimate term. And when you talk to God, that's how He wants to be. He wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. My two girls are grown now. But one of the favorite things that they still say to me when they call me, they go, hey, Daddy. And they ask me things, and I respond. But when they use those words ring out, I love it. My children have never said this. Oh, thou most omnipotent founder of the Baker clan, who dost sovereignly bestow on us our allowances, we beseech thee for a bounty of cash that we might abide at the movies. No, they don't say that. Dad, I need some money, right? God longs for an intimate relationship with them. And finally, our Father is competent. He's always competent. For no word from God will ever fail. He can handle any problem you give to Him. He can handle anything that you feel. If you just say, God, I just want to tell you right now this is how I feel, He can handle it. Nothing is beyond His ability or His resources. And today, if you watch sitcoms on TV, fathers are portrayed as dim-witted and making messes all the time. That's not our God. He can take care of anything. I love it. This last March and April, both my daughters got their first house. One here in Flagstaff and one in Japan when we were there. And we moved them in. And then all of a sudden the list for me to do things just, you know. I had a honey-do list and then I had two children-do list. I don't know what they call that. So, but you know what? I loved it. I loved seeing them get their house, and I loved doing what I could do. They thought I can do it. They think I can do everything. They don't realize I go around the corner, I look it up on YouTube, and then I come back and do it. They think that I can fix anything, that I know everything, that I can afford everything. And don't tell them that I have limited resources, wisdom, and energy. We'll keep that our secret. But your Father can do everything. Your Heavenly Father can do anything. It says Ephesians 3:20 through 21 says, now to Him who is able to immeasurably do more than all we can ask or imagine. You can't even fit it in your brain. According to His power that has worked within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. At Streams Church, when we pray like we have a loving Father who listens to us, loves to hear from us, cares from us, and answers all our prayers. That's why we pray the way we pray. And I wanted to call up a lovely young lady who I've known since I was 18 years old. And Joella Bassett leads our prayer ministry here. Wow. You like second service. This is a good group, yeah. I do too. And they look good. Yeah, I know, yeah. Joella Bassett leads our prayer ministry here. And so I thought I'd ask you some questions and get some input about prayer. Because when I need prayer, like I need prayer, we're going to give out her phone number in a second. So no, I'm kidding. So when did, this concept of praying to God in a personal way, like He hears and He cares, was there ever like an aha? How did you get to that place? An aha moment or something like that?
It was mimicked to me. I could see how people prayed. And I remember one time a pastor praying and crying from the altar. I'd never seen a man cry. And it just touched me. The relationship that God had spoken to him as a kid. No. Neither do I.
First of all, that's not an, it's no,
It's nothing new to God. God, this wasn't a surprise to him. And he has placed certain talents in that person. And I guess I would pray that God would meet them, to marry that talent that God has placed to a position.
But that was only a couple years ago. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. So another question we have is, so let's say somebody comes to them and say, hey, a friend, I lost my job. Would you pray for me? What would you, how would you approach that situation to pray for them?
He knows your situation. Your employer employs you, but God is your provider. And so my prayer
I sometimes think I know a lot more than God does, and so I pray that way. I'm thankful for the prayers he hasn't answered. Wow.
Yeah, encouragement, like a prayer of encouragement, hope, and then wisdom to know where to apply, where not to apply, and that God, that they'd be...
When I pray, he's going to show us what to do. There's a situation now that I've been praying for.
So here's a big question. Have you ever had a time, I have, when you're praying and either you feel like God didn't answer, isn't answering, or didn't answer in a way you wanted him to answer? How do you handle that one?
By his mom, really. Well, I've been praying for 15 years and watching them go through the high times when they think there's a breakthrough and the low times when they say it. Hurtful comment to my niece about her.
There's a situation,
and she said, I can't come with you gals because I'm afraid somebody's going to hurt me. And she said, don't tell me you're praying for me either.
Well,
I'm praying for you because I am. But I said, Sarah, I'm disappointed as you are, but I'm not without hope, and you're not without hope because God knows your needs. He knows.
I've watched them just high times and times when we really thought there was going to be a break.
For what he's doing, for what he's continuing to do. I thank him for his protection.
And even this last month,
I keep praying. I keep praying. And I can pray because every time I pray, God gives me a vision.
When he's holding that flag, situation, and it just crushed her, and she said, I'm not going to come to the women, your girls retreat, because I'm afraid somebody's going to say something bad to me, and I don't want to judge it, just don't pray for me. But I said, well, I'm going to pray for you.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, we're disappointed,
time on this,
but we're not.
It's very dear to my heart.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I think, wow.
That's the relationship I have with him.
But
when I pray for Alex, God has given me a picture of him. There's times of discouragement.
This is a neat family that loves
without
hope.
Yeah.
We're never without hope. And we focus on God and what His Word says. I know a lot of words. I know a lot of words in the Bible. I can't tell you it's found in.
You're a good pastor.
And I just want to say,
but I know what His Word says. And I pray that word over my family. I pray that word because there's an agreement.
Why is it important for
them?
Yeah.
That word of God, and he says, my word will not return to me empty.
Yeah. And what I love about the situation too, if I can say, we have all these conversations sometimes about this and that. We forget that there are people behind our conversations. And somewhere in my lineage, there was a dreamer that came over one time and became a citizen of the United States. And our position in the kingdom, God, should always come before our position in the United States of America, that we're citizens of heaven first. So I appreciate you praying that way, and that's really cool. So, and then the last thing is this. I want to ask them, Every week, before service, we say we had prayer. After service, we have prayer. And so let's say I'm speaking something, and something sort of stirs in somebody's heart. Why do you think it's important that they should come down and pray with somebody, that they should make that?
Yeah, I think it's so important that we have agreement to
propel them forward.
Scripture said it's
to have
that.
Just that agreement in prayer is powerful.
I think there's sometimes
absolutely
we need to humble ourselves and ask for prayer. You know, you think, well, I got this.
I do too.
But
absolutely.
I need people to pray with me and for me. And I think sometimes, and then there's times when knowing those situations, we can continue to pray. And the other thing I love is these people that are praying, God's going to give them words for you. There's been times that I've been in a rut on how I pray, and I get with a prayer team or I pray, and someone speaks something over me, and I think, wow.
Let's pray. Thank you. Place your hand on that person next to you, would you please?
It
says we lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It's also power in prayer and putting their hands on that person in a point of agreement. Father, we thank you.
Yeah,
we thank you that you are our Papa. You love us. You have plans for us, God, that we don't even know.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll sit down.
And I ask right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will surround these that are looking for jobs and looking for opportunities. You'll surround them with your favor, a shield of favor, God, favor with you and favor with man, that they will be above and not beneath the head and not the tail.
This side really likes you.
Father,
so.
I ask that you
have to okay, this side likes you, too. I think sometimes we can get in a fog, too. And when we're in the middle of it, it's like you just can't see. And when we come forward, one of the things we ask, and I know because we're part, we ask these people not just to pray, but to try to listen to what the Spirit is saying to you, because you might be in a fog and you can't see it. And so they can help you see the perspective of God in the situation. It gives you hope and it gives you encouragement. And I'll just tell one last story and then we'll pray. Probably 5 or 6, 7 years ago, I don't remember. I called these guys up. They were living on the other side of town. And I said, we need you here. And your children are here. We need you to move to the west side. Would you pray about that? And they lived back over where we were. And they did. They sold their house. They moved over here. And Dave was helping us with all this stuff in the new church. And Joella goes, well, I'm not sure what I'm going
to
do. I go, I do. And she has been a powerhouse for our congregation and in prayer. And it's taken us to another level. So I want to say how much I love you and appreciate you and Dave for taking a step of faith. Yeah, please. You have 250 people in your family. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. If you have a need today, I'm going to have Joella pray for you. Anybody say, whether it's a job or as a worship team comes forward, would you just say, I have a need? You don't have to speak it out. Anybody here? A couple people. Okay, you see them. If you're around them, let's stand. And if you're around them, feel free to put a shoulder in with Joella. She's going to lead us in prayer.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.